John has asked me if I'd give the Sunday school message, but then Rich took it, knowing it would probably be a little warmer, so I get a little bit hotter up here. But I thought about what topic I would give. This is the first time I ever spoke in front of a church. I'm not real good with words, but I've got the Word of God, which will do the work of God. But anyway, so I thought about a subject, and I came up with the subject, saved. And, you know, between believers, when we talk to friends and family and stuff that are saved, it's not too awful long before we just come up with the conversation about being saved and just how thankful we are that we are saved. And so I decided I'd speak on that topic. So Webster's Dictionary, let's start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and loving God, Lord, I'm just thankful for this day and for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to speak this morning about our salvation. And we're just thankful to you, our Savior, Lord, that I can make it clear so that it's understandable as I understand it. For the saints here. That's that. Your name, my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. So, Webster's 1828 definition of saved is preserved from evil, injury, or destruction, prevented or spared, redeemed from sin, rescued from danger, to preserve or guard from destruction or loss. That would be the definition. Definition of redeem is to recover property by discharging an obligation. Number two for redeem is to ransom, free or rescue by paying a price. Three, to free from consequences of sin. And four, to make good on a promise by performing. Five, to atone for. So that's the definition of redeemed. Well, in order to be saved, what do we need first? We need a Savior, okay? So definition of a Savior is one who saves, and it says Jesus Christ. That's the definition. So let's go to Isaiah 43, verse 10 and 11. If we would. Everyone, I mean, a Savior does the saving, and we need a Savior in order to be saved. So Isaiah 43, verse 10, it says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Verse 11, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." If you look at verse 3 of that same chapter, it says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." So we understand that the Lord God is the Savior, and in the context of this, it's the Savior of the nation of Israel. We understand that there's only one Savior in both dispensations, throughout the whole Word of God, there's only one Savior. He says, "Besides me, there is no other Savior." So if we'll go to our epistles from our apostle, let's go to Ephesians 5:23. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body," meaning the body of Christ, that Christ is the Savior there. Flip over a couple pages to Ephesians 3, verse 20. Let's see, Philippians 3, verse 20. Oh, I said, go to Philippians 3:20. Did I say Ephesians? I'm sorry. Okay, it says, It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also, we look for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand that our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Lord is the same. That's God in the flesh. Go to 1 Timothy 1:1. So we understand through our apostle, the Apostle Paul, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ. So he, we can see that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. So he is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've got a Savior now. There's two different programs in the Word of God. There's probably several programs, but one is for the heavenly places, one is for the earthly places. But we see that He is the Savior of anyone that'll believe in either dispensation. Okay, so now that we have a Savior, there's a Savior available. What do we need? As a non-believer, we need salvation, correct? Okay, and we're going to find the definition of salvation is the saving of a person from sin or its consequences. So we understand that there is consequences for our sins, and everyone is accountable. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So we understand that the consequences of not being saved is being lost. And okay, go to Romans 1, verse 18. Let's see. We need salvation because Romans 1 verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So we need salvation from the wrath. Because once we're lost, it's the wrath of God is against us. Romans 2, verse 8 and 9. I use a lot of verses today because the Word of God is the sword of, and is the armor. So I'm going to need it. But anyway, verse 8, it's 2 Corinthians 2. I'm sorry. Verse 8 and 9, it says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they get indignation and wrath. There's that wrath again. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Let's go to Romans. So we see that there's that wrath again and there's indignation. The definition of that is anger roused by something unjust. If we don't have the justice of God, then we're unjust. And so it says definition is anger aroused by something unjust, unworthy, or mean. Let's go to Romans 6:23. So what we're trying to do is figure out what why we need salvation. We see that it's a wrath. Romans 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So we understand that our paycheck for our sins require death. because of our sins, we realize that there's an obligation. That obligation is satisfied by death. We're also enemies of God. If any person that is not saved is an enemy of God. So we understand that there's ultimately it's death, judgment, and hell. Even though Paul's in Romans through Philemon, there's Paul doesn't mention hell at all. But we've got the whole Bible so that we can understand. It says all Scripture in 2 Timothy 2, 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us so that we can understand that this judgment is talking about hell, which is a lake of fire, even though we can't find that in Paul's Gospels. Okay, so now we get to the good part. How do we get saved? We get saved, first of all, turn to Proverbs 13:13, and there's a lot of wisdom in this, not being Pauline doctrine, but still there's a lot of wisdom in it. And if you go to Proverbs 13:13, okay. It says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Well, in the context here, it's talking about the commandments of the law, and that in the context talking about the nation of Israel as well in the Old Testament there. But we also find out if that there are some commandments in Pauline doctrine in the Gospels of Paul. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 14:37. That's 1 Corinthians 14:37. Our apostle, the apostle Paul, says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So, we understand that Paul's got some commandments for us today in the dispensation of grace for the body of Christ. And God, has given him those commandments, which are our marching orders for today, in this dispensation which we live in. If you turn to 1 Timothy, let's see, I'm not sure. I don't believe that's the verse. Let me look here. 1 Timothy 1:1. I don't know why I got that here. I know I already read it. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, it is. 1 Timothy 1:1. We've got that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. There's the Savior and commandment both in the same verse. And so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand that there are commandments for us as well. If we'll turn to Romans 1:16, to find out this is how to get saved. Romans 1:16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, we understand by verse 16 that he's not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God on salvation. So we know that contained in salvation is the gospel. And then now we're going to ask ourselves, which gospel is that? If you turn to Romans 2:16, seeing how we're that close. Pretty much there. Okay. we see that verse 16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There is a day, still future, that God is going to judge the secrets of men according to Paul's gospel. And we can see that in the verse. If we'll go and we want to know what is that gospel. Romans 2, that was 16. Okay, that gospel is, if we go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. So there's that, it's in Paul's gospel. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In a nutshell, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, that He was died, He buried, and He rose again the third day. Let's see. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 14, it says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. That's if Christ be not risen. But if we read the chapter or verse 5 of first chapter 15, verse 5 of Corinthians, and it says, and that He rose, verse 4, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that He was seen of above 500 brethren. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead because He was seen after that fact. Paul says that he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, if we'll turn to, go to 1 Timothy 1, verse 11. I'm trying to, okay, it says, yes. And this here is going to let us, 1 Timothy 1, 11. Paul says, whereunto I am an appointed a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. We are Gentiles, we're not Israel. So Paul is our apostle, and he's apostle to the Gentiles. That was 1 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 11, I'm sorry. You're right. 2 Timothy 1, verse 11. I copied my notes so many times that I probably miswrote them down. Okay, it says, verse 11 says, whereunto I am an appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So we're Gentiles today in the dispensation of grace, and God isn't dealing with the nation of Israel. He's dealing with just all the lost people. So we see that. Go to Ephesians 3, verse 1. And let me take a look here. Ephesians 3, verse 1, yes. Paul says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So he's... If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you word. So this information was given to us by our apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles. Okay. If you'll go to, Romans 11, verse 13. And I know that 19:11, he's talking to the nation of Israel about why God set them aside. Romans 11, verse 13, Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentile, I magnify mine office. So we understand that through those verses that Paul is our apostle and he has the commandments today for the Lord. So that's whose message that we follow. It's the Lord Jesus Christ through the teaching of our apostle, the apostle Paul. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Verse 6. I'm sorry. Timothy 2, verse 7, Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So it's his gospel that tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. Okay. So it's Paul's gospel. Look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 6. Paul says, go up to verse 5. Okay, go up to verse 4. It says, who will have all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So we understand that through this that there's one mediator between God and man that gave himself to be a ransom for all. The definition of a ransom is free from captivity or punishment by paying a price. Something demanded for the freedom of a captive. That's what the definition of a ransom is. If you will go to Romans 3. Verse 24, 25, and 26. Okay, 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So we understand that all have sinned, and there is accountability for that. There is a price that needs to be paid for that. There are consequences of our sin. And we've been justified freely by His grace through the redemption. The definition of redemption redemption, redeemed, taken back. We had redeemed back here to recover by discharging an obligation. So He has paid the obligation for us, and it was through the blood of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. And we can be thankful for that daily. Okay, so if we go to Ephesians 1:7, so we understand there that we have redemption through His blood. Okay, and I said let's go to Ephesians 1:7. And this is right where we are with our the regular study that John's been teaching us. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we've according to the riches of His grace. So we have redemption and we have forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sin. He's paid the price for our sins, and we have that. If you go to Romans 5, verse 9, these are all the things that the blood has accomplished for us. I know John had mentioned there in Leviticus 17, verse 11. So we go there just for a minute. Good verse. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 17, verse 11. Good verse. 17, verse 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Third book. Okay, we there? Okay. No, not yet. 17:11. Good verse. It's, well, they're all good verses. But for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon an altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Atonement, the definition of atonement is a reconciliation of God and man through the death of Jesus Christ. You know, you talk about a marriage between a husband and wife, sometimes they need to be reconciled together. Well, this is us being reconciled to God for the true punishment of our sins through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now if we'll go to Romans 5, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9, it says that God commended this love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, and at that time in our sins we were enemies with God, we were without hope, without God in the world, we were in darkness, we had death, judgment, and hell was our paycheck. But it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. It was His resurrection from the dead that accomplished this here. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received atonement. That is for our souls, and that's who we are. These bodies are what our soul ride around in and reside in, but it's our soul that's going to live eternally. And that's what we need. Let's see. If we'll go to, did I say 5 verse 9? Did I read verse 9? Okay. So let's go to Colossians 1 verse 14. So we've seen that we've been justified, we've been reconciled. Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There we get redemption and forgiveness with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need. Colossians, as long as you're there, go to Colossians 1:20. Okay, it says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile unto Himself, all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. Ultimately, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was for the nation of Israel as well, but their sins are only covered till. There's a time mark in Hebrews. We find that their sins are just covered even until today. But ours are forgiven in the context here. nation of Israel, it's not until God writes the law in their hearts and causes them to keep His commandments that theirs are totally forgiven. If we'll go to Ephesians 2, verse 13. These are all the things that the blood has accomplished for us. And any sinner that needs salvation. And you're going to find that out in the mystery program that, you know, through Pauline doctrine, it's the blood of Christ that saved them. It says, verse 14, he says, "For he is our peace who has," verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's also our peace." And he is, okay. Okay. Verse 21, Colossians 1:21. Oh, we read that. I'm sorry. Colossians 1, verse 22. Verse 21, okay, it says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he now reconciled." That's a past tense standing that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand in verse 20, it was made, that peace was made through the blood of his cross. But 22, it says, "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." And that's the sight, whose sight we want to be found holy and unblameable. God looks at us and sees us in Christ. And Christ paid for our sins. He sees all our sins have been dealt with in full by the blood of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. If we go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, I think this is one of Cindy's favorite verses, I think. I remember at a Bible study we saw this. And is it? Let's start up at 3. Let's start at 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us." And that's, and the Lord calls it a treasure, this truth that He has given us through our Apostle Paul. And that's all that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished in our behalf. So we understand that through those verses that, that the wrath of God has been justified, that we are no longer enemies with God, that we're justified, we're reconciled, we're saved, we've been atoned for, we've been delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light, His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're without blame, and God just sees us in Christ, and that's where we need to see ourselves. And I know that, you know, between believers, a lot of time it is. I mean, it's not very long that we can just sit back and just talk to each other about how thankful we are that we heard this wonderful saving salvation message. It was through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that alone for our salvation. And that, well, I think we get to get out of here way early. are there any comments or anything that, well,
awesome. Okay.
Okay. Okay, we'll close. Okay, well, let's. Anybody else got anything to say? Jim, did you? Second Corinthians 4:3. I don't know if it picked it up. It could be both, but I think in this, if the next verse, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, there's salvation come or is to those that believe, right? Well, the definition out of the Webster is lost. The definition is ruined or destroyed physically or morally, helpless. You know, I know in Ephesians 1, if you flip over there, I mean, I think that it has to do with what gospel. You know, it says, if our gospel be hid, that's Pauline gospel, it's hid to them that are lost. If you turn to Ephesians 1, when he says, if I'm right, I think it's verse 13. Okay, let's see. Wait, I want to get to rather the other verse. Wherefore remember, verse 13, it says, in whom ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The reason the Apostle Paul says the gospel of your salvation is because you got saved a different way. If you look at chapter 2, verse 11, of Ephesians, it says, verse 11, it says, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by them which are called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We got saved a different way than those people in times past, right? Through the gospel, and if our gospel be hid, gospel is the good news, the saving good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a question here in the back. Okay.
The tendency is for people to view a verse like that and think it's talking about unsaved people, unjustified people. In fact, this verse is talking about religious apostate people who rejected the calling of history.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that?
Yes.
So I think that I tend to agree with Jim is that when I read Paul's epistles,
Right.
But the emphasis is now on the sanctification issue of Israel. You know, let's talk about, Timothy. He says, hold fast the doctrine, you shall save yourself.
Right. That's not salvation or soul salvation. That's from bad doctrine.
Save for prayer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
it could be. It could be taken either way, I believe. Yeah. But you're right. It's already after Romans 5, so we're already saved, we're sealed, we're already justified. So you're right in that sense. Yeah, John?
We keep getting all these questions. My day one is going to die.
Okay. Thank you. We'll close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and loving God, Lord, we're just thankful for our salvation that is in the person of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and Him alone. We're just thankful, Lord, that we have this building to come to where we're still able to study Your Word rightly divided, knowing, Lord, that a lot of us make long trips to get here because this is where the truth is taught, rightly divided, and we're just thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open my mouth boldly, as I should, as an ambassador for you. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.